Oral Son Parshas Lech Lecha. I saw Vart. Where did I see the Svarim? I don't remember. I saw an idea. I'm not telling you what it says in this. The idea is not my question. The answer I want to just try to suggest, just making an aura. The question is, why does contrast Parshas Lech Lecha with Parshas Noach? Each parsha has a personality. The Ishei HaTanach. Personalities of Tanakh. Parashas Noach is all about Noach. Eilet Holdos Noach. Even the whole parsha is even named after Noach. That's such a godless, such a covet we've given Noach. And we describe Noach in glowing terms. Noach Ish. He was an Ish, like a Malach. We just learned he wasn't an Adam. He was a Malach, right? He was an Ish. He was a Tzaddik. And he was a Tamim. Ah, Gevaldik. Hoya B'dayroisav. Could you imagine what he would have been like had he lived in the generation of Avram? We name the parasha after him. One title after the next is all interpreted by Derech Kovet. Comes to parasha Lech Lecha, it's all about Avram. The Roish Hamaminim. The Roish Hamaminim. And what does it say? First of all, we don't give him a title. We don't name a street after him. We don't name a shul after him. Not even a public school. Nothing. It's called Parashas Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Nu doesn't say Avram Chaya Tzadik Yerushalayim. He was a Chacham. He was a Maimin. No titles, nothing. And we know he was a great person because in the previous parasha we learned that Nimrod threw him into the Kivshan Ha'esh. This is already after. He's 75 years old over here. This is long, an old story. When he was 3 years old already, he was Makir Ribay. He was Makir the Ribay Nishlam. He rebelled against the whole world. Avraham or Ivri. Avraham over here is unbelievable. He's the God of Hadar. There's no one greater than Avraham. And yet, quiet, nothing, just plain and simple Avram. Hashem says, Lech Lecha, I'm sending you on a mission. My high, what's going on? Why is Noach given all the kavod, and why is Avram given nothing? So the answer, which I think this Sefer is trying to say, which I don't remember which Sefer I saw it in yesterday, but I think the answer he's trying to say over here is a very, very deep idea, is that Noach was a finished man. There was nothing. Noach, I don't know if you, it's not nice to say this. So if it's not right to say, so then you're not allowed to say them. It's not a curse to say what I'm saying, but it's an idea. You have to think about it, if it's true or not. Noach reached a plateau, and it was it. I've reached my madrega. Noach was an ish, called a malach. A malach, the word ish we had before by the malach, a contrast to an adam. He was an ish. A malach does not grow. Noach reached a darga, an exalted darga of righteousness. But he retired. I'm done. I've reached my level of righteousness. I peaked. And that's it. I'm done. He was an ish, like a malach. He was a tzaddik, in the purest sense of the word. He was tamim, complete. Hoya b'dor v'asav, in his generation. That's it. I'm done. And now, I'll service the community. I got my degree. I got my degree in being a tzaddik, and I am a tzaddik. I'm an authentic tzaddik. There's no question about it. But it does not appear that he was working on himself to go higher and higher and higher. We know that the degrees of Yerushalayim, the degrees of spirituality a person can reach are infinite. And even though you're standing head and shoulders above every single person in your generation, and there's almost no one to talk to, no one can relate to your righteousness, it doesn't matter. There's always more madrigos of greatness and spirituality a person can reach if he works on himself. Noach was done. Menela, Eile, right away the pasuk says, Noach, you're done. No, we're going to give you credit. We're going to give you your due. We're going to name the parasha after you. We're going to call you a malach, an ish. You're a tzaddik, you're a tamim. Hoya b'dayroisav in your generation. And you know something? Maybe if you would have been in the generation of Avram, you would have been even greater than Avram. Because you, Noach, have the talent to reach the top. you can reach the top of Ruchnius. If you only saw a certain degree of Ruchnius that was necessary for your generation. Had you lived in the generation of Avram, you would have been even greater. Avram would have reached, let's say you put on a scale of 1 to 100, Avram would have reached level 80. You, competition, he's an 80, I'm going to be a 100. You would have reached level 100 if you would have lived in the generation of Avram, because that is the Malchus of Noach. Noach was beyond. Noach had the Koyach. Awesome. Avram, the Milo of Avram, where we come from Avram, is Avram was always moving. Yelchu mechayil el choyil. He was growing. Lech lecha. The parish is named after Avram. It's Avram, Tak Avram. Avram is hidden in the words Lech Lecha. Avram's whole life, from beginning to end, is another Madrega, another opportunity to grow further, 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 further. It may very well be that if Noach lived in the generation of Avram, Avram couldn't reach the Madrega of Noach, because Noach was even a greater person. He had a greater, it was greater. But Avram had a Milah. My love to grow. And in that respect, when it says by Noach, Ilu hoya b'doros shel Avram, lo yesh darshan lignai, lo hoya nechshav leklum. What do you mean leklum? Because Noach lacked the ability to grow. He reached the most exalted level, but that's it. I'm now at level 100. Avram is at level 80. Avram is growing. I'm greater than Avram. He's greater. He would have been even greater than Avram. But Avram has the Milah that he's a person that's growing and growing. Avram is the Lech Lecha. He's on the move. This is the Musa Haskel for us, is that we are descendants of there's us and them. That's it. Only two types of people in this world. Us and them. The Bnei Noach and the Bnei Avram. We come from Bnei Avram. Avram is Lech Lecha. No titles here. Even if Avram was greater, not greater, that's irrelevant, because Avram is not yet done. I'm not yet finished. There's more to do. I'm not yet the Tumim, the complete person. Don't call me a tzaddik now, because there's more madrigas of righteousness that you can achieve. We are Bnei Avram. Our lesson, our role model, is to be on the move. Yelchu mechayil elchol lech lecha. Our role model is not to get a PhD in righteousness and hang up our shingle and have a street named after us. Avra Noach, tzaddik, tamim, ish tzaddik, tamim, hoya b'day roisav. It's gewaldic. His madrig is even higher than Avram. He could reach the very, very top. But he lacks that ability, that drive, that passion to go higher and higher. Yeah.
I always thought that with Noah, frankly, it was like a one-shot deal. Preaches peak, and then it became Ishagam.
There are many interpretations. This Ayin, you're right. Ayin, Panim, Lotar. You're saying another idea, and that idea is not a contradiction to this idea. Ayin, Panim, Lotar. I always say
it. It's even better when you think of Ela Toldos, Yitzchak, and Abraham. Yeah. The parish is called Toldos, Yitzchak. Because Noach, it says Ela Toldos Noach, and it's called Noach. But Ela Toldos Yitzchak, it's called Toldos, not Yitzchak.
Vital, go to the next generation.
Right.
Growth.
It's still.
Mr. Rappel, what you're saying is good. It's not a contradiction, and it's a different idea. This is just this snippet, a contrast. Noach, Avram, the two parshos, where they're holding, where they're going. Bidoy Roisov, the contradiction in Rashi. If he was in the generation of Noach and Avram, would he be greater or not, or less or not as great? Well, they're both true. He would be both greater or not greater. He would be greater.
That's his name, Noach.
To rest. Oh, very good. Excellent. Excellent. That's Noach means to rest. Fantastic. The whole Malchus of Noach is you reach your level, your where you want to be.
You're static.
Where you want to be. I want. If he was in the generation of Avram, he would have been greater. Because competition. I have to outdo my competition is like, no, Avram. I'm going to be double. Whatever Avram is, I'm going to be double. But once I'm double, I'm done. Noach. To rest. Come to rest.
If Avram was in the time of Noah, the Mabul was coming.
If what?
If Noah was
time in the and Avram, so Rashi says he would be both greater and nothing.
No. He can prevent not to be Mabul, Abraham.
I don't understand.
Noah didn't
He didn't give Musar to the Dar. He did. He built the Teva. That's a different topic. It's a different. I'm going to just focus on this one little aspect of his personality, of this idea. And that's another topic.
In the time of Noah was Abraham, the leader.
There are many dimensions.
Could he save the people from the Tufan, Mabul?
Let's discuss another topic. Another topic is the beginning. We learn a lot about the wife of Avram in this week's parasha. We are introduced for the first time, not the first time, but the second time, to Sarai, my princess. And the parasha begins, Vayem Hashem l'Avram, Lech l'cham yatsal, l'cham b'tzavicha. So it says in the pasuk, Vayelach Avram, kasher dibur elav Hashem. The next pasuk is, Vayelach Avram es Sarai ishtoi. Avraham called his wife by the name Sarai, my princess. And in fact, everywhere we find Avraham having a conversation with her, it's always Sarai or later Sarah. Yet, like later when they came to Paro and they came to Mitzrayim, it was Rav, they went down to Mitzrayim. So what did Hashem say? What did Hashem say to Avraham say to his wife? Hinei no yodati ki isha yifas mareot, and he called her there Sarai, right? He called her by her name.
Sarai
Ishtoi. Where's the pasuk? Vayhi Rav Aretz, Vayhi Kasha Hikrev, Lo Vayomer El Sarai Ishtoi. He said to Sarai, his wife. He called his wife Sarai. However, the problem is, that was not her real name. Her real name was Yiska. At the end of Parashas Noach, when we define who she really is in regard to her birth, it says, Vayikach Avram v'nachol lechem noshim, shame, the name of Eshes Avram Sarai. He called his wife Sarai. The shame, Eshes Nachor Milka. Bas, who is Milka? She was the daughter of, it's a very, very funny pasuk, a very hard, strange pasuk. Who is Milka? Who is Avram's sister-in-law? His sister-in-law is the daughter of his father-in-law, who is the father of his wife. And what is his wife's name? His wife's name is Yiska. Very bizarre as can possibly be. The name of his sister-in-law was Eshes Nachor, was Milka. Who is Milka? Well, Milka was Bas Haran, the daughter of Haran. And who is Haran? Haran is his father-in-law, Avi, the father of Milka, Va'avi Yiska. It's a strange passage to begin with. What is the passage teaching us? The passage is teaching us between the two. I'm trying to say this idea, and it's not purely mine. Is that her real name was Yiska? When she was born, the one who has the right, the one who names the person, is the father, not the husband. You don't wait until you find a shidduch to give the girl a name. You don't do that. You make a kiddush right away, and you name the girl. Immediately, you name. Who gives the name? The parents give the name. You don't wait to find the chassan to give. The chassan should give the name what he wants to call his wife. It doesn't work like that way. So here, when it says va'avi Yiska, it's defining for us that the name that her father gave this woman was Yiska. And Rashi says, why was she called Yiska? Because she was beautiful. Everyone gazed at her. And then Rashi says something that is extremely critical. Yiska, Zosara, Al Shem Shesso. First perish in Rashi. Al Shem Shessoicho, Beruach HaKodesh. She had prophecy. From the very beginning, Haran was no simple man here. Let's not make any mistake about it. The people from time of Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu's father-in-law was no simple person, and he.
It's also his brother.
Right? Yeah, his brother. It's right. It's his brother. Correct. Correct. It's his brother and his father-in-law. And that's father. That's right.
The name
is Rechonami. He was not Haran. Was not a simple person. And Haran, he gave a name to his child. He knew what he was doing. He knew that his daughter would seek has Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, we know that the Ruach HaKodesh of Sarah was greater than the Ruach HaKodesh of Avram. Call Asher. This week's parasha. Call Asher. Toimar Sarah. Shema B'Koyla. Next parasha, to drive out after the birth of Yitzchak, to drive out Yishmol, Kol Asher Toimar Sarah Shema B'Koyla Ki Bi Yitzchak Koyla Chazara. So her real name was Yiska, which alludes to the fact that she had Ruach HaKodesh, and then Rashi goes on to say, V'sha'akol sochin b'yoifya, the second interpretation. So the question then is, why then did Avram call her Sarai and not Yiska? So the answer some want to say is, Avram did not see in her Ruach HaKodesh. When Avram had a conversation with her, they didn't talk in learning. Or even if they talked in learning, the conversation they had about the Rambam, the stir between the Rambam, this place and that place, and the answer, the Raivin, the Reb Chaim, he wasn't very impressed. He didn't see in her Ruach HaKodesh. So what then did he see in her? You're my princess. You're my wife. You're a beautiful person.
Neither.
And what? Sarai, my princess.
The
beauty.
Okay, the physical beauty. All right, let's put that aside for now. I want to come back and tell you that. But obviously, what did he call her? Her father called her Yiska. And Rashi says here, Al Shem Shesoicha B'ruch HaKodesh V'Shehakoil. It wasn't only her father. It wasn't... that she saw Ruach HaKodesh. It would seem that if her father saw that she had Ruach HaKodesh, this is something which many people saw in her, that she had Ruach HaKodesh. Avram, though, clearly did not see that in her. Because when Sarah said to Avram to remove Yishmael from the home, Avram said no. Vayera hadavar me'oid b'nei Avram. Al oidois b'no. And Hashem had to say to Avram, she is right. Kol asher toim asher shma b'kola ki b'yitzak kol chazara. So Avram did not see this attribute of Ruach HaKodesh in her that her father did. So therefore, even though her father called her Yiska, Ad Chosin said, you know, your name is wrong. Your father gave you a very nice name, Yiska, but I'm changing your name to Sarai because I think they made a mistake at the Kiddush. They didn't give you the proper name. That's really what it says. And every time we find the word Sarai consistently, wherever it says the word Sarai, it always says the word Esha Savran. Because it's alluding not to truly who she was, because who she was Yiska. She was a world leader. She was a powerful woman who saw the world in a very, very, very unique way. But to Avram, he just didn't appreciate who she was. When it's Avram, when Sarai, it's Esha Savram. When he looked at her, he just called her, "You're my princess." Later in this week's parasha, what happens? Hineino, I'm coming to Mitzrayim. Now is the time. Hineino yadati ki isha yifas mareh ot. You're yifas mareh, the beauty of mareh. Mareh is always a code word for nevuah, prophecy. The nevuah looked seven times, very good, right? Seven times, nine times by Yecheskel. The tzinius. And here, what does Rashi say? Rashi in this pasuk says, due to the tznius shahoye b'shnehem, the fact that both of them conducted themselves in an oifan of modesty, Avram didn't really appreciate her beauty. It's a far-fetched to say he didn't know what she looked like. I once heard a very big rabbi talk about this. He said, I can't learn pashup shot. He didn't know what his wife looked like. Impossible. Obviously, the yoifi, we lose to something different. It alludes to a beauty of the neshama that he never appreciated, he never took note of. So I want to suggest is, he never saw in her what Haran saw in her. Avram, Haran, her father, called her Yiska. She soichin b'ruach HaKodesh. Avram didn't see that. Now, when they came to Mitzrayim, now, I'm leaving out some gaps over here. Why Dafka, when they came to Mitzrayim, it's Al Yidei Maisa. Rashi himself doesn't want to tell us what happened. Rashi, there's a measure that says, Bibabua, he saw in the reflection. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Al Yidei Maisa. That's very mysterious what Rashi means. There was a Maisa, they came to Mitzrayim, and it was now Niskalita Avram, the Yoifi of Sarah. And therefore, the Yoifi of Sarah now is in danger. And he put her in a box. Isn't that very strange to put her in a box? A teva is not so much... Well, what is a teva? A teva is not so much to protect society. The teva is more to protect the person from society. Maybe Avram felt, I'm just thinking out loud, is that Mitzrayim is the erva Saretz. The contamination of this world of Mitzrayim was so great it would affect her spirituality. A person who's not a very spiritual person, it's no big deal to walk around the whole day in Manhattan. You can walk around Manhattan the whole day and go to the places that are on Times Square and march up and down the streets. Big deal. And you can go daven shachris, mincha, ma'arif, and go and have a good time. It doesn't have any effect upon you. But a person who is a very, very holy neshama, you go to a place, Las Vegas, Shetufei Zima, it has an effect upon a person's neshama. Avraham Avinu said, Sarah, you know, I never really appreciated your spirituality. I never appreciated what your father said about you, that you are Soicha B'ruach HaKodesh. I didn't appreciate that. Now, we're coming over here to Egypt, to Mitzrayim, the Erev HaSaretz. Me? I can handle it. Because to me, it's water off a duck. So big deal, I'm going to go over here. I grew up with Avodah Zarah, Terach. I know what Avodah Zarah is, Tumah. It doesn't affect me. Tumah does not affect me because I'm not on that Madrega. But you, my wife, Sarai, you're different. You're extremely holy. You're much holier than me. Your father himself called you Yiska because you're Soicha B'ruach HaKodesh. Your sensitivity to Kedusha is so much greater. Therefore, the Sakana for you to be in an environment of Tumah is that much greater. It's that much greater because that's you go from extreme to extreme without being prepared, without the bar being prepared, is a very big problem. Someone told me that Haredim, who never had any contact with a computer, and later in life they come in contact for the first time with the internet, have much bigger nisyonos than people who are brought up in the crib with internet. People brought up and they learn how they discipline themselves and they have filters and they don't have nisyonos. Everyone has nisyonos. But they're able to, because they're used to it, they're accustomed to it, they know how to. You come into a shocking situation and you're not prepared, you go from mikotze l'kotze, you're not prepared for it. It's a wake up, it's a shock. And you can be swept away, 1, 2, 3, unless you know how to prepare, you know how to prepare for such a thing when you're not used to this type of thing. Sarah was an exalted spiritual love. You're coming out to the tribe. He put her in a box to shelter. So why is it that now, all of a sudden now, hinei no yodati, this gufa is an incredible mile of Sarah. The tznius of Sarah is not just so much she covered herself over, she dressed properly. It means hatsneya leches in Elokecha. Just because you know kolat harakula, and just because the malachim come to learn with you at night, and just because you say tikkun chatzos, and you fast every Monday and Thursday, and you know that you happen to be from the line of tzaddikim upon which the world stands, doesn't mean you have to broadcast this and tell everyone, hey, you know who I am. It doesn't mean this. The greater you are, the more you're able to withhold, you're able to contain, to be modest in your madregos of spirituality. When Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel would walk in the street, a bird that passed over his head, it what happened? It was burned to a crisp. Who is this Rebbe? Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel?
Rabbi Yochanan
ben Zakkai. When he walked in the street, did the birds disappear? Did the birds, were they turned into smoke? Did they burn? Nothing happened. How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he walked in the street, nothing happened to the birds? When Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel walked in the street, the birds, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was even greater. He was even greater. He was able to contain his spirituality. He was Hatsnea Leches Imelokecha. Haran called her Yiska. Sarah was so great. When she went out on a date with Avram, she concealed the fact that she was Yiska. Hatsnea Leches Imelokecha. The meat of Tznius was not just in the way she dressed. The meat of Tznius was in Hatsnea Leches and Ruchnius. So Avram Taka never saw this koyach of Kedusha. That's why he always called her Sarai, you're my princess. Yes, Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know all this stuff about you, all these secrets about you. Now they come to Mitzrayim, Hashem says to Avram, Ali Dei Maisa, you don't really know who your wife is. You think you know who your wife is. Ali Dei Maisa was Niskala, Sarah exalted level of spirituality is beyond what you could imagine. And therefore, forget about Egypt, about the Shetufei Zima, they'll go crazy, they'll see that she's beautiful. That's don't worry about it, that's another issue. You have to protect Sarah. She should not be pained by the contamination that she's going to come in contact with when she goes to Las Vegas. When you go to Las Vegas and you're a Kodesh Vitar and you go on the bus, you go in the street and you go and you see things that you're not used to seeing and you're a Kodesh Vitar, it's not a healthy experience for a person who's on an exalted level. Put her in a box. Put her in a box. Shelter her from the people. What, Sakana? They're going to take you. They're going to be mezana with her. It's not going to happen. Hashem will take care of her. They're not going to touch her. But she needs to maintain her ruchnius. She needs to be sheltered from such an environment because it's a shocking thing to go mikotze lakotze. This is a darga of tzinius. Okay, now let's just go to another quick idea. I'm holding on to. I want to tell you this the ha'ara. There's just one word of Rashi. Rashi, I think he speaks volumes when he says one word. They come to let me find the Rashi with Sarah. Where is the pasuk? Vayikvay Avra Mitzrayma, Vayiru haMitzrim es Isha ki yafa hi ma'od, Isha yifas mare'ot, the achshav now boyim bein anoshim shechoyim umichuarim acheim ki akushim. Okay, let me go further over here. That's how the Rashi one focuses on. Here it is. Okay, here it is. He didn't know yodati. Medrash Agada. Ad achshav. Until now, lo hikir ba mitoich tsniyus shabish nehem. If you were given the task to write this Rashi, I would bet the average person would not write these words. Tell them the idea, explain them the concept inside out, and tell them to write the Rashi. You would say, Ad achshav lo hikir ba mitoch tsniyus shelo. Until this point in time, Avraham Avinu did not appreciate the beauty of Sarah due to her modesty. Isn't that what you would write? Isn't that what you would expect it to say? Mitoch tsniyus shelo. And therefore, the achshav hikir ba al yidei maisa, we have to do and we have to take precautions. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Lahikir bob mitoch tsniyus shabish nehem." What does that mean? In addition to Sarah being a tsnua, Avraham was a tsnua. He didn't look. And what is the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is if a person is an isha tsnua ad meoid. Not one hair comes out of her head. She's dressed in the most modest way. One thing I can tell you. If a man wants to know what she looks like, he can find out what she looks like. If he wants enough to know what the Isha Tsunua looks like, you'll outsmart her. You'll be able to somehow, some way, some form, to be able to get a sneak peek of what she looks like. She can be the biggest Tsunua behind the thickest burqa you want. Ein davar oimed bifnei haratzon. You want to look, you'll find it. Tznius requires preemptive measures. It's not just enough, you have a filter, and you have this, and you have that. You can have the best filter, the best shmira, the noshin tzidkonios that are tznua behind the chitza shel barza. It's not going to make a difference. If you want to look, you'll find a way to look. Tznius is a constant battle. Constant. It's a mulchama. There are two parts to tznius. There is prevention. There's, of course, the filters, and this, and this, that, chveis, whatever, and all the gedarim, mechitzas, whatever gedarim, whatever your standards are. Everyone has their own standards for gedarim. Whatever they are, gesunte hate. But that's not enough. Just because you put up the gedarim, you can never sit back and relax. Never. Because if you're going to sit back and relax with all of the gedarim, if you want, if your mind is curious, and your mind is healthy, right? It's a healthy man, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's a constant battle. It's like food, losing weight, not gaining weight. It's a constant battle. You think you lose 5 pounds, you finished? You're not finished, you're first getting started. Okay, it's a constant battle every single moment. It's an incredible Rashi. Unbelievable. This Rashi opens up worlds of why Taka today, all of these Gedarim don't make a difference. You find over here, everyone, this, all the filters, and this, and that, and yet, it's business as usual. How could it be business as usual? How could there be so many problems? So many problems with all these horror stories? Doesn't everyone today have a filter? Doesn't everyone have this? Doesn't have that? What's going on? We have the best of the best, and the technology today has never been better. The technology today to prevent these things is unbelievable, unreal, and yet the problems today are probably even worse than they ever were. Why? Because it takes two to tangle. It's mitoch tznia shohaya bishnehem. Sarah did hers, and Avraham still had to do his. He also had to be an active participant in deciding to be a tznua. That's the mahus of tznias. It's not just the preventive measures, it's the continuous recognition to engage in the battle, and the battle of tznias. And not just tznias together in physical tznias, like going back to what we said before, there's also a dark of tznias in ruchnias. Chatznea lechasim lokech, person has to be tznua, modest in his spiritual world as well. Let's go to another post, another idea.
Hey, Rabbi, that was a mistake, by the way.
Yonason Ben-Gosiel
was the Talmud of Hillel.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Hillel. Hillel Hazaki. And Rabbi Yonatan and Ben-Zakkai
was the smaller.
Rabbi Yonatan was the smallest Talmud.
The Rebbe was Hillel. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this is in honor of Ramuchal. Ramuchal, you always like the first Rashi in the Torah. So what does the first Rashi in the Torah say? First Rashi in the Torah says, why did the Torah begin with Parashas Bereishis? Because, with Bereishis, we should start with Achoy Dezer Lochem, so Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. It's very appropriate, this week's Parashah is all about Yitzchak. Lefishak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, because, let me find the first Rashi, now you're on the first page, that's why. The first Rashi says, Mishum Koyach Mayis Afigil Yamo, La Seis Lochem Nachlas Goyim, She'im yoimru umos olam li Yisrael listim atem. That's what they say to us the whole day. Listim atem, you're occupiers. You're occupying the Holy Land. You're occupying the land that belongs to the Arabs. Shekivashtem, you conquered Arzai Shivas Goyim. So hey Maimrim, so Klal Yisrael will respond. Lohem, kol ha'aret shall read Chumash Bereishis. The Torah was given to Klal. The Torah says Hashem created the world. And Hashem temporarily gave the land. He gave a lease to the nations of Canaan. Their lease is up. If your lease is up, the landlord has the full right to convict, to evict you. If you're making trouble, you're making trouble in the apartment. And therefore Hashem now has granted us a new lease on the land. That's what Rashi says. Heim, Arim Lochem, Kol Aretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hi Bira'a, V'nasna La'asher Yashar Be'enav, B'Ritzaynoi Nasna Lohem, U'V'Ritzaynoi Nitla Mehem. V'Nitna Lanu took it away from them and gave it to us. Hashem is the landlord. Hashem gives a tenant a right to live in the apartment as long as the landlord wants. When the lease is up, the landlord is within his rights to evict the tenant and to bring in a new tenant. And especially when the tenant is abusive, the tenant is causing trouble, the landlord is within his full rights to evict the tenant, and therefore the purpose of Chumash Bereishis is to wish you acknowledge that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the landlord of this world. This the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. That's what Rashi says. That's what we have to know. They don't want to hear this answer, but that's what we have to know, this answer. Right. Now, Kasha, this is a much better answer. This answer you should know, it's a hard answer. It's a hard, even, okay, it's a good, okay, I shouldn't say that. Fine. Rashi, this is the answer. This is a much better answer. A much, much better answer. Rashi says the answer in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, it says, Lech Lecha, we'll learn in this week's parasha that Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And Avram goes to Canaan. Vayavo Avram Eretz ad mekoyim shech. And I'm sorry. Vayetsu leleches Eretzo Canaan. Who is Canaan? Canaan was the son of Chum. Or Chum was the one who disgraced his father. Nachman was cursed. So all the Canaanite nations, they come from Canaan. Right? They all come from Chum. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Vaknani Ozbaretz, the seven nations of Canaan were the occupiers of the land. How did they get this land, Canaan? How did they get this land? Rashi, this is a Pasuk Vav. So it says over here that Canaani Ozbaretz, how did Canaan get on this land? Do you know who this land was originally given to after the Mabul? Noach allotted the land of Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael, to Shem, to his oldest, to Shem, Shem ben Noach. Who is Shem? Shem is the great-grandfather of Avram. Avram. That's his great-grandfather. We come from Shem. So that's who got the land. So what is Canaan doing on this land? Canaan is a descendant of Shem's brother, Chum. He's a Ganef. So it says here explicitly, she conquered. Es eretz Yisrael mizar shel Shem. Shebechelko shel Shem nafla kishecholak noyach es haaretz lebanof. The land was originally given to Shem when Noach divided the land. Shenemar, it says, Umalki tzedek melech Sholem. Even the sixth parasha, we learned that it was the melech of Sholem. Even though the Canaan, they took over a good chunk of the land, they were never able to take over Yerushalayim. Isn't that very interesting? Yerushalayim will always remain in the possession, to some degree, of the descendant of Noach of Shem. Lefichach, Hashem says to Avram, Yomer el Avram lezarecha eten es aretz hazot. Look at these critical words. These words are speak volumes and volumes. Osid ani lehachazira. I'm going to return to you what's rightfully yours. It's your land. It was given to you by Noach, and someone stole it from you. So I'm going to take out the listim who stole it from you and give it back to you. Kol ha-poisel b'mumay poisel. A person calls someone a mamzer, Gemara says, check into that person. He's the mamzer. Anyone that's poisel, b'mumay poisel. When the umayis olam say to us, listim atem, they're the listim. Because the land originally belonged to us, and the Canaanim took it away from us.
But it's a little bit of a stira, because here it says that Noach gave us
the... Yeah.
And Rashi said
exactly. That's exactly the question I'm asking you. That's exactly what I'm asking. They have a stira. This is a much better answer, right? That's exactly what I'm asking you. So what's going on over here? So if this is the answer, you're calling us a listim. You're the listim. Let's go check history. Let's go look. Let's go and see the records. Who does this land belong to? It belongs to us. The Canaanim stole it from us, so we're just taking back what belongs to us. So that's now what Rashi says.
So you have to say that Hashem knew in advance that Noach was going to give it to them.
Right. Well.
So it's really the same thing.
But whatever it is, no. This is a much better answer, what it says in Parashas. So why then in Parashas Bereishis, does Rashi say, when the Umayis Olam today, Rashi's talking today, they say, listen, this is what you answer them. The reason why the Torah Chumash Bereishis is to know who the landlord is. A better answer. So obviously there's a lot of depth in this, is that Enoch Nam, you have a better answer. But that's not the answer I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the answer to know that I am the it's my land. The Iker answer, you have in life there are many questions, and there are many answers. And they're all good answers. But there's an Iker and a Tophel. Even though to us it would seem that the better answer from the perspective of a secular person, from a secular mind,
or a legalistic approach,
that's the whole debate when they go and they try to debate with the Palestinians, with the Arabs, about, so you have all different approaches. So you have the approach, the legalistic approach, and you cite international law, conquest, and this and that. And then there's the religious approach. No one wants to go near there. You can't, that's taboo. To go say, read the Bible. Even though Jimmy Carter, funny, even though Jimmy Carter is one of the biggest troublemakers for us, he's the one that took that approach. He's the one that took the religious approach. It's Yedua. Read the Bible. It says in the Bible that God gave this land to the Jewish people. The religious approach. No one wants to go there today to take the religious approach. They want to take the legal approach, then there are many avenues to show why we're not occupiers, it's our land. The Torah presents for us both. We have the legal approach in Parashas Lech Lecha, and we have a religious approach. forget about all of the laws, the bylaws, and the lawyers, and all of the. All you got to know is one thing. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He created the world. He's in charge. He's the landlord. He decides who gets to live on the land for how much time. When he, and he told us, it's time for them to go. It's time for you to come inside. That's what you have to focus on. This is critical when you approach the Torah as a religious Orthodox Jew. There are legal approaches, and the legal approaches are fantastic. They're airtight. They're airtight. You can't do better than this. When it says in Parashat Lech Lecha, we're the Balabatim. Airtight legal approaches. But I want you to have emuna. I want you to focus on a religious perspective of why you are entitled to the land. It's my world. I created the world. I decide. You don't need to focus on anything more than that. If you feel bad that it's not legal, Ishnod is legal. And the legal rules are airtight. But that's not the Iker. The Iker is to be a maimon, to focus on it's Hashem's world. Okay, let's now go to another quick idea. I saw there's a medrash. The medrash says that when Avram is Seder Olam, famous, not this mamash, this is the Bible of Midrashim. And the Seder Olam, it says that when Avram he went out to Canaan for the first time, he was how old? 70 years old. How in the world can the Seder Olam say something which is keneged a beferish pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem, vayelech itolot." The Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana b'tzeisoy me'choron. He was 75 years old. What's going on? It says here it's 75 years old, and it says he was 70 years old. So the commentators, they discuss, they say an incredible insight. They say that Avram, he went twice. Right. He went first as an explorer. Seder Olam. It's a medrash. It's a medrash of historical events.
Chronology
of historical events. It says, so the Farsh and the commentators explain that Avram, and they read this in the, I'll show you in the Pasuk, very interesting how they read this in the Pasuk. Avram went twice. Hashem told Avram, I want you to go to Canaan. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be yours. I want you to go to Canaan. So go check it out. So Avram says, okay, let me go on an expedition. Wife, you stay here. Avram was a religious man. He had a shul, had a shtibel. So they hired an intern. They got an intern to take over for a few weeks, right? And they right. I'm going on vacation. I'm an explorer. What?
Pilot trip.
So he went on a pilot trip, and light, new, come with me. Come, we're going exploring. We'll have a good time. We're going to Canaan to see what it looks like. He goes, just Avram and Lot, no one else. Not Terach, not his wife, not Hanefesh, Asher Osu, Bechoron, no one. They go, explore, they see. Ah, what do they see? They see things. They come back. They tell, you know, we saw the new world. We crossed the Atlantic. We saw the new world. We're all going. Pack up. You can't believe what we saw out there. Everyone pack up. We're all going. Hanefesh, Asher Osu, Bechoron, Eliezer. And he takes Sarai and Terach. And they all get in the car. And they all go together. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. Let me read the Pasuk. You never read the Pasuk in the same way anymore. It says, "Vayom Hashem Avram lech lecha, lech lecha, vayelech Avram." Immediately, as soon as Hashem said to Avram, "Go," he went immediately with no delay whatsoever. Just they rented a car, they left their minivan for his wife, for Sarai, and he rented a car, a little teeny car, and they went. Vayelech Avram kasher dibei elav Hashem, vayelech ito Lot, and Lot, only Lot went. Zehu. Then what happened? They came back. Nochamal. Then they went a second time. And when they went a second time, they took even the kitchen sink. Everything went with them. Avram, when he left for real, ben chamei shanim v'shimshon b'tseisoy, the word tseisoy has a connotation of a real departure. Not just on vayelech, but a yitziah. We're gone for good. We're never coming back. He sold the house. And when he went this time, it describes in much more detail.
Vayikach Avram, when he left for good, he took with him. Now, for the first time, he took his wife, Es Sarai Ishtoi, and he took again. Now, here it says a little bit different. It doesn't just say he took Lot. He took Lot ben Achiv. Very curious. Why? The first time it says Lot, it just says Lot. Now he's called Lot ben Achiv. And then it says, V'yes kol ruchusham. They close all the bank accounts. Asher achashu, they took everything with them. V'yes hanefesh asher asu v'charan. V'yeitzu l'leches arzo kenan v'yavohu arzo kenan. They went to the land of Canaan. Okay, two different yitzias. This is what it says in the Farshim to explain the repetition of the two psukim and to explain the steer between say the oilam and
everybody. There was a 5-year gap.
And that's right. So how long did he explore for? It doesn't say how long. Maybe he explored for 1 year, maybe for five, maybe took preparation. No, don't have to leave. You know, you got to sell the house. You got to go clean out all the stuff in the basement. You got to go and, you know, you got to pack up. It takes time. But he first went out on a pilot mission, a pilot, what's it called, Michal?
A pilot trip
to explore what's out there. He came back and then he packed up everything and he went. That's what he did first. Now, I want to focus on one little detail and tie this to the parasha. The detail I want to focus on is Lot. Lot is a very complicated person. Mitzad Echad Lot, from Lot comes Mashiach. No, Lot, Lot's daughters, Amon and Moav, Rus HaMoviah. Okay, not a pashut person, Lot. Lot gave birth to Mashiach. Him is part of the line of Mashiach. Mitzad Sheni, Lot's not tzaddikal. This week's parasha is all about Lot. Lot gets caught there. He's in the middle of the battle, the whole battle, the four kings, the five kings. They stuck Mamish in the center. He's the source of all the trouble. The World War III has broken out because of Lot. Because of Lot, he's all over the place. And then next week's parasha, again, another troublemaker. They have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And who's smack in the middle of the whole thing? Lot! The Malachim, Avram, Tzfila. Lot is a big, big mess. He's a real mess, this guy. And the first mess we have with him is another story, which you can't get away from. There was a fight. Vayihiriv, Bein Roye Miknei Avram, Bein Roye Miknei Lot. This guy is trouble. Wherever you turn, this person is trouble. There was a fight. Avram says, I don't want any machloikis. Go where you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. Ima small, v'emina, v'ima yemina, smi'ila. Let's not fight. We're brothers. Kianosh Nachnu. Avram was a diplomat. No machlekes. Do whatever you want. Just don't bother me. Let's be friends. Everything is going to be good.
All the trouble with Lot started after they came back from Egypt.
But it starts right now over here. Right now over here. It says there was a riv. Okay, after they came back from Egypt, but it was a riv. So I want to say this: the trouble started a lot earlier. Let me prove to you. It started in this week's. It started right in the very right with this passage where the trouble started. Let me explain what I want to try to say. What was the fight about? Rashi explains. The machloikis, and this mamish defines the mahus of Lot. I think this is a yesod in Lot in the nation of Ammon and Moav. Lot, let me pause for one moment. What is Yishmael? What is the main problem we have today with Yishmael and Esav? You want to define it in just a few words. What is their obsession with us? Why are they always making trouble, these nations, Esav and Yishmael? You can summarize it by saying they believe that they are the true Yoresh. Everyone loves Avram. There's no controversy with Avram. Everyone, Avram is always good. Everyone wants to be the Enikul of Avram. Avram Avinu. Monotheism. You know, that's where it all starts. The machlekes in this world is, who's the Yoresh? Who's the Yoresh? Yishmael says, I'm the Yoresh. Avram had a son, Yishmael. The oldest, he's the Bechor. He's the Bechor. I'm the Yoresh. Zehu. What more is there to say? That's the end. It all starts and stops. What does Esav say? I'm the Bechor. Yishmael's out. Sarah got rid of him. That I'll accept. Who's next? The next generation. Yaakov and Esav. Who's the Bechor? I'm the Bechor. I'm the Yoresh. Okay, it's all about who's the Yoresh. Isn't that what it's all about? All machlekes in this world comes down to money. Who's the Yoresh? Okay, that's the Mitzias of the Velt. Who's the Yoresh?
Yoresh from what?
Who was the first one to make a machlekes of who's the Yoresh in the Velt? There's another one you don't know about. Lot. There was a fight. What was the fight? The fight was Hashem said, Lot goes, Avram says to Lot, Hashem revealed himself to me and he told me to go explore Canaan. Canaan is mine. Lot was a religious man. He believed Avram. That's right. Avram, you don't have any children. You're childless. You don't have any children, Avram. So who's your Yerush? Who's next in line to Yashin? Who, Eliezer? No, he's not your biological child. Who's your Yerush? Who, Avram, is Yerush? You know, Yishmael wasn't born yet at this point in time. Who's Yerush? I'm your Yerush. You're 75 years old. You're 70 years old. You don't have any children. I'm the Yerush. I'm the Ben Achiv. I'm your brother's son. I'm in line. Gevaldik. Hashem told you, you're going to have Eretz Yisrael Canaan. I'm the close of kin. I'm the Yerush. Gevaldik. What?
Didn't he have another brother?
The other brother died. The other brother, who's the other brother? Three brothers.
Nachor.
Nachor wasn't promised Canaan. Nachor, Hashem promised Canaan to Avram. Nachor's out. Nachor's in America.
But her brother is closer than a nephew.
Does it?
No, he wasn't there.
Good point. You know, yes, you're making a good point. You're making a good point. But he was out. He was. Cell, no cell phone service where he was. He didn't know about it. Okay, there was no Wi-Fi. He couldn't find out what was going on, so he was out. I'm the Irish. And that's exactly what it's Rashi says. Rashi says there was a machlokes, it's not like this, they were grazing off other people's property. Mm-hmm. Avram said, this is gezel, how dare you? What did Lloyd say? Gezel, the whole land is going to Avram. And you, Avram, you have no children, I'm the Yerush. So it's mine from the start. Rashi's beferish. Avram has no children. Has no children, I'm the Mela, I'm the Yerush. This is key. You cannot imagine how important this is. Say this the whole Torah, because Esav and Yishmael, they're claiming they're the Yerush. There's someone that beat them to it. Lot beat them to it. Lot's the one who said that I'm the Yerush. Let me just find you the Rashi over here. We're running out of time. Let me read you the words. We read Baretz. They went. Where is it over here? Avrami Bavura. Where's the Machlokes? Here it is. Vayiriv Pasuk Zayin. There's a machlokes, and the machlokes says the fishayu royav shalait reshoyim umadim behem tam b'sos achidim roy Avram meichichem as samala gezel. They know him nid neharetz li Avram the loy in yoyresh the loyt ben achiv yarshoy. Ah, I'm the first yoyresh, the first machlokes over Yerushim in Torah. The ain ze gezel, it's not gezel, the akosomer, it's not happened yet. Okay, now let's now go back and appreciate what the beginning of the parsha says in the pause with one teeny little vart. We all know this vart. Shavu lochem im hachamar. They come to the Akedah, Avram says to Eliezer and Yishmael, What do you see?
Nothing.
See nothing. You see, you don't see the Shechina. You don't see the Shechina in Har HaMoriah. You don't see the Shechina is there. No, I don't see. Stay here, you're a donkey. You're a bunch of donkeys. Shavu lochem im hachamar am hadoim lechamar vayar es hamokoim meirachoik. Avram comes to Talpiot on the road of, there's a Mesorah on the road of Talpiot right near the yeshiva of Merkaz, what's it called? Merkaz HaTorah. On the roof of America, so to that area right there's a road, there's an ancient road, 2000, 3000, there's an ancient road that goes back from the time of Avraham Avinu, they know, and this road, there's a Mesorah, this road you can see Harabais, and there's a Mesorah, on that road is where it says in the Pasuk, Vayar es hamokah merechoik, he saw the Ribbono Shalom merechoik. He asked Eliezer and Shalom, what do you see? Nothing. You see nothing? No, you're a bunch of donkeys, shavu lochem imachamor. Back to the beginning of the parasha. Hashem says, Avram, the first time we learn about Eretz Yisrael, the first time, can you imagine how significant this is? The first time you ever hear about Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm giving you the land. So Avram goes on an expedition, he goes on a pilot trip, and he takes with him Lot. Let's take a good look, let's see the gift, the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving me. Let's take a look at this land. Avram goes. No. Lot is going. No, he's the Yerush. Whatever Avram, because Avram has no children. They go and they look. What does Avram see? What does Lot see? They go out on an expedition. Avram goes and he sees Kedusha. he sees the Kedushas Haaretz. And the proof is, everywhere where he everywhere he goes, he davens and davens and davens. He builds a mizbeach. Mizbeach, davening for this, for that. It's like people go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to this kever, go to that kever, go to this tzaddik, that tzaddik. It's a spiritual experience, Avram, when he tacha goes on the full, when he full goes on the full trip. Lot in the on the pilot trip, he goes to Avram, and what does he see? Money. What a good business opportunity I have here. Two people go, Avram and Lot, they go together on an expedition. Avram sees Ruchnius and Lot sees money. He sees a business opportunity. That's they both see different things. Enoch, that's the way the world is. Just like Avram said, what do you see? I see Hamokoim. And what do you see? I see nothing. You're a bunch of donkeys. If you want to see the Kedusha, you'll see it. If you don't want to see the Kedusha, you're not going to see it. Hashem says to Avram, go, I'm going to make you into a great nation. V'heyei b'racha, v'yeilich Avram, kasher diber elav Hashem, v'yeilich ito lot. No, I'll come, see v'stutzuchta. I'll see. They go, they come back. Avram is so excited, the ruchnius ain't l'shire. Lot's also so excited. Why? Money. He knows what he's going to make off this business deal. And now it says they go, Vayikach Avram, Esarai Ishtoi, and he takes here, Lot has a new name. All of a sudden, Lot's name changes. Instead of calling him Lot, we now call him Lot ben Ochiv. Lot, the son of his brother. Because Lot now is going now with the Kavana to be Yoresh, the money. I'm the Yoresh of these assets, this $1 trillion that I'm going to make from this business deal. A whole new perspective. And they go, they take all their assets, they go, and right away, that's the difference. Right away, this machlokes of what is the goal here comes out to light. Avram here from Ruchnius, he goes to all the Kvarim, he goes to the Mispalo, and Lot goes to steal. Lot goes to take all the assets, and there's a machlokes, and they split. Lot wants to be the Yoresh. What happens now, I want to point out, and the last thing we're finishing up right now, to conclude this idea, who came from Lot? Amon Umayav. Can Amon Umayav enter into Klal Yisrael? Absolutely not, with the greatest chumras. Why not? Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. They didn't want to give us lechem and mayim. Why? Why don't they give us lechem and mayim? They held, Amon Umayav, ad hayom hazeh, they still hold, they're the Yoresh. The whole Mahus of Amon Umayav comes from Lot. And Lot, he never lost the expectation that I'm the Yoresh. You people should just perish away. The Jewish people, you should starve. You should die. And when you, Klal Yisrael, dies, who's getting the Yerusha? It's going to go back to us. It's not going to go back to Esav. It's not going to go back to Yishmael. It's going to go back, all the way back to us. They cannot wait. Ammon and Moab cannot wait for Klal Yisrael to perish, because they have their own legal rules of who the Yerush is. The Yerush doesn't go from the last generation. When it comes to the land, it's going to go back to the original Yerush. They want it. Where do you see that Lechem Amayim is a reference of the Yerush? Well, you don't see it exactly, but you see it very close. Umalki Tzedek, after the success of the Baal Mitzvah's parasha, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalim Hoitzi, Lechem V'yayin. Not water, but Yayin. But I'm suggesting that it's an upgrade. Okay, he comes out with bread and yayin. You know, someone that you really like. You give them a bottle of wine. He's coming to greet. What's shot? Malki says nothing else to give. He gives some CDs. Obama went to Queen Elizabeth. What did he bring? He didn't bring a bottle of wine. He brought all the best American movies. Queen Elizabeth needs to watch the American movies. So he gives her lechem. What are you giving over here? Lechem v'yayin. What are you coming to give lechem v'yayin? So what does Rashi say? Rashi over says he's being merames your children. Children. Your children are going to bring you Avram. You're going to have children. Even Malki Tzedek, you're going to have children. And they're going to be makriv korbanos. And they're going to be makriv menochos and nesachim. And Rashi, let me just read those words. Mamash finished. He's going to bring you these words. Mal lechem kach oisim legin l'muchama. Veheroloi she'ein b'libo yolov al shohar ages banav. I have no tainus, you Avram, you killed my children. Fine. he's talking about children. Okay, you have to measure God. Ramos like al hamenochay sal nasachim sheakrivu sham bonov, your children. Okay, yeah, it's not 100%, but there's something over here. Two different examples of children. Okay, these are just raw ideas. You have to develop a little bit more. Malki Tzedek is bringing Lech and the Yayin, and Rashi says two different ideas, and both of them center around the children. I have no tainess that you killed my children, and on Merames, you're going to have children. He didn't have children at this point in time, Avram. What children does he have? He doesn't have children. He doesn't have Yishmol even yet. You're going to have children, and the children need food, parnasa. They need Lech and the Yayin, and they're going to bring the Menachos. The Menachos is the Achila. They're going to have children. So you see that when you bring out lechem, the ayin, yidin merames, bonim, I'm not the yoresh. You have your own yarshim. Lot, I'm the yoresh. Ein lo yabonov. You see the chilek between Malki Tzedek and Lot? Memelo, you understand, when it comes to Amoy Numov, they cannot come into Klal Yisrael. You know why? Because they don't want us to have children. They asher lekidnu eschem balechem uvamayim. Merames, they don't want to bring out the lechem and the mayim. I'm saying a little bit of yayin. They go hand in hand. Is because they still have tainus. They still are yearning to be the yoresh. This is all mushrosh in the very beginning of Eretz Yisrael. What do you see in Eretz Yisrael? You see Kedusha or do you see money? You see Kedusha, it all ends well. If you see money, a business opportunity in Eretz Yisrael, it does not end well. This is the Musa Haskel of how to look at Eretz Yisrael.